Irish men do more exercise than women, according to the most recent study by the World Health Organization. And with TV shows like Love Island and fitness accounts on Instagram, the focus on the male body is now mainstream popular culture. But what is gym culture among men in Ireland like in 2019? Are most taking supplements? What's the diet like? And what other trends are emerging? Our News Talk reporter, Aideen Finnegan, has been speaking to some heavy gym users, and she joins me in studio now. They weren't that heavy.
No, they
use gyms a lot.
Yes. Thank you for making that differentiation. It's interesting that the WHO study found that more men do exercise than women, because I went along to a city centre gym to speak to members and, you know, randomly entering and leaving the building. And it just so happened that most of them were men at that point in time. I wanted to get a general sense of how often and why they use it, whether they're into taking supplements and what the climate's like. And these guys spoke to me about their gym habits. You go to the gym?
Six times a week.
Yeah.
It's definitely like I go to the gym for physical appearance and mental health as well. So, and it's not always going 100%, especially on days when you feel worse and you come to the gym. Even if you knock out like 40 minutes, you come out and you feel like a new person. So, yeah.
Do you follow a special diet or do you take supplements?
I don't follow a diet. I just kind of eat whatever I want to. I don't take supplements either. Well, I take whey protein, but I feel like that would be the most basic one that everyone takes.
I usually go 5 times per week, so if I skip like 1 or 2 sessions per week, I don't mind.
And do you follow a particular diet? Or are you?
So I'm doing low-carb diet, so I'm eating mostly meat and milk. I started that like a few years ago, even before I went to a gym, because I had some digestive issues.
And do you take supplements as well?
No, nothing. So I used to take creatine, but now I eat lots of beef, so no need, because there is lots of creatine in the beef.
And what's your primary motivation? Is it fitness or do you want to look good?
Strength. Oh, and look good, of course.
So how often do you use the gym?
5 days a week.
Yeah. So you're pretty hardcore.
Yeah, because I train for like bodybuilding, so yeah. It's like 5 days a week, 2 days off, and like 5 meals on top of that every day as well.
Really? 5 meals? So what kind of things would you be eating?
Chicken, fish, things like that, you know.
So I guess your primary motivation for the gym is to bulk up?
Yeah, get bigger. Yeah, a lot bigger.
Do you take supplements?
Oh yeah.
Protein, creatine, glutamine, BCAA.
Wow. Is that all about building muscle mass?
Building muscle mass, helping with regeneration, helping with like to feel good, you know, like energized. So.
Does it cost a lot?
Yes. It's a big part of my pay for food, so.
Are gyms still a place where there's a lot of posing going on? Do people take selfies?
I wouldn't say it's that bad in Ireland, but yeah, in some countries it's quite bad, because every time I travel I go to the gym, so I see. But yeah, sometimes you can see in a cloakroom then guys like posing in front of the mirror, so.
Now, only one of the guys said looking good is the main focus when using the gym. The others mentioned feeling good, building strength. All seems fairly healthy.
Yeah, it does. And everyone I spoke to for this report said the mental health benefits are a big part of why they work out. But of course, there is a big emphasis on how you look. And someone who was very candid with me about that was Spin1038 DJ and Instagram influencer Marty Guilfoyle. He's also a brand ambassador for a protein snack and supplements company. His initial decision to bulk up a few years ago was after a relationship ended. He said it was like for him the male equivalent of a post-breakup haircut, but he kept up the routine and it developed from there.
3 years ago I went vegetarian, and the more and more I was working out, the leaner, we'll say, I was getting, and the more and more that happened, people were really interested in how I was looking a certain way while being a vegetarian. So I guess I kind of feel the need to kind of keep it up.
Yeah, well, I've seen your Instagram and I'm not going to mince my words here. You're pretty ripped.
Thank you.
So how much work goes into that?
Yeah, so food wise, like I count calories like to the calorie. A lot of people think that that's obsessive, but it's something that I enjoy. So I wouldn't consider it obsessive if you actually enjoy doing it. So yeah, I'll count them depending on the season. And depending on what I have going on that day.
Is the aesthetic a big focus for you as well?
It is. More than I'd like to admit, to be honest, because I do feel so good after it. I really, really do. But I can't help but like be totally honest and say a lot of it does come down to the aesthetics. You know, there was a time last year though where I got really lean. I put a lot of work in, and at the time I didn't know how lean I was. I always thought I could be that little bit leaner. And it was only a couple of weeks ago I was playing at Longitude and I was looking for a throwback video. And as I was looking for one from last year, I found a picture of me just before a gig in Mallorca, and I was standing on the beach and I was like, oh my God. I was like, wow. And at the time, I thought I could have been leaner. And literally only in the last month, I've realized, wow, your mind can really play games with you. And that I've really started to focus less on the aesthetics part of it. Like, so.
Do you take supplements?
I do, yeah. Like, I'm really open about my supplements because obviously being a vegetarian, I don't get my meat, I don't get my protein in through meat sources. So I do get some in through dairy, but I supplement on whey protein. I do take my pre-workout, which should have creatine in it, which helps with my strength. BCAAs, I take them during my workout to stop muscle breakdown.
Is it easy to get tempted into the more hardcore substances from supplements?
It is and it isn't. Like, it's prominent, it really, really is. But like, anyone that knows me knows that I can't even get my blood taken, let alone put a needle in myself with testosterone. But it's not that it's easy to get involved. Naturally, if you're looking at stuff online and you think that some people look like that naturally and you're gonna want to maybe take a shortcut, I can see why somebody would go down that route. I just think it's so important that people know that when they see stuff online that they could be saying, oh, I train this many times a week, I eat this much food, then I don't eat this, that sometimes there is maybe other things that they're not telling you.
That's a good point about Instagram. Most of it is not real, and you can't know how honest people are being about what they're taking it in.
Absolutely. Now, Tommy Rooney from Off the Ball really wants there to be an educational component in schools around this whole phenomenon. I spoke to him because he plays club football for his local GAA club in Meath, and I was curious whether GAA players feel this unspoken pressure to bulk up and whether that sort of male gym culture is permeating amateur sport.
In terms of the gym, personally, I've never enjoyed the gym. I find it difficult to kind of be able to motivate myself in the gym. Like, I'd have built up quite a natural level of fitness over the years, and I feel like in the GAA that's more important in terms of Gaelic football and hurling. In saying that though, I think games change. Like, you've seen in rugby how size was so important a couple of years ago, and now it's actually, they're slimming down again. So culture's changed in sport, and there probably was a phase in GAA where getting big was massive. When I was younger, I would have played to a high enough level. I would have been in and around minor panels, and I would have played fresher football in DCU. So personally, I would have been 6'2" and I would have been quite skinny. I would have always felt internally, I was like, God, I need to get bigger here. But for me, myself, I never put myself under too much pressure to, you know, take supplements or to, because I wasn't really into it. Like, I'd much rather going out and shooting, kicking 50 footballs rather than lifting weights in the gym. But I think that it's very easy for young men to get caught up in the, like, the same way Instagram can be so toxic and Love Island can be so toxic. I would know of, say, young people in their, like, early teens or 15, 16, and, like, they're able to go on YouTube now and look up gym routines. Like, I didn't. I learned them maybe when I got into college and I was given stuff and I could go off and do my own thing. But, like, all this information is already accessible now, but it's sometimes if you're not applying it without professional help. I think that there's been incidents over the last couple of years in Ireland where, you know, steroids have been used across the country, and they absolutely are being used in gyms across the country. The bottom line is that education is needed on things like this, and I think that school is the place to do it, because in any way, in the manner that you need to reform different subjects and different courses all the time, I feel like physical education is something that could do a massive growth in this area.
That's Tommy Rooney from Off the Ball. Aideen, do we have any evidence at all around steroid use in Ireland?
No, not really. There's a lack of hard data around it because it's underground and, you know, it is being labelled a hidden crisis among men. Last week, HSE stats in the Irish Examiner showed the numbers seeking help for problems caused by steroid abuse are up. Now, they are small numbers, but on the rise nonetheless. So there were 28 cases in 2015, for example, compared to 19 in 2013. In terms of the facts around steroids, I spoke to Professor Niall Moyna from the School of Health and Human Performance at DCU. He's also an advocate for there being more health literacy in schools, which would include education around steroids and supplements. But I started by asking him whether supplements can actually cause harm.
Well, first of all, supplements in the first place. Most of the research, unless you're an elderly individual and it's prescribed by your doctor, for the most part, there's no need to be taking supplements. If you're taking a well-balanced diet, you're getting all the nutrients that you want. So again, that's another culture. Again, a multi-billion dollar industry based around fad and not facts.
But can it be abused? You know, is it harmful?
It is. If you ingest any substances in great amounts, calories is a great example. Look what happens to the body. But remember, all of these nutrients have to be broken down by the kidneys and the liver, and that they overwork over time, and some of them can actually result in severe kidney damage.
That would obviously go as well for the more hardcore substances, the likes of steroids.
Yes, I mean, many organ systems are negatively impacted by the use of prescribed anabolic steroids. Under no circumstances should anyone, particularly someone under the age of 18, even contemplate taking anabolic steroids. And I know there is a market out there, there's an underworld, and that's a little bit different to the culture of, you know, the ideal body, but then there's a whole other bodybuilding culture, and it's just a murky area.
And what can it do to your body?
The anabolic steroids can cause heart disease, can actually kill you. It can cause lots of damage to various organs in the body, in addition to its impact on your overall mental health. It can cause extreme aggressive behaviour, and we've known this for many, many years. And many of the drugs that we know that have been taken and been sold as, say, supplements, we know that many of these supplements are spiked with anabolic steroids. So you think you're taking a supplement, but the reason you're getting the benefit is because it's actually spiked with an anabolic steroid. And many of these are coming from the Far East, particularly China. So I think you need to be aware of it. I would say all reputable gyms would be very much aware of it, most of the commercial gyms. And I think they actually patrol to make sure that there are no recreational drugs in their facilities. But there are other unregulated facilities. And it's easy for, you know, if you're thrown out of a reputable gym, it's easy to go to another gym. If you really want to find these substances, you're going to be able to find them.
And that's disturbing, Professor Niall Moyna. On gyms, supplements can cause serious heart, liver and kidney problems in the long term and sometimes the short term. Guys who are too pumped up do not look natural or attractive, says Anne. Ado says, I'm not a gym goer, but I do keep in shape, but it's for feeling good. Look good, feel good. People should not miss the correlation between the two. How stupid these health nuts are going to feel in years to come when they're lying in a hospital bed, dying of nothing. In relation to the gym culture, education just doesn't take place in schools. There is a responsibility at home as well, where significantly more time is spent than at school. But, you know, the peer pressure to take stuff. There was huge peer pressure to take creatine. I don't know whether that's still there, but it was among the young lads. They were taking creatine to build muscle. And the question is whether or not that's being, you know, forced by the manufacturers on people. Well, Dominic Munnelly is a sports scientist and a gym owner, and he believes the worm is turning when it comes to the focus on supplements. He was talking to Aideen.
A lot of that is pushed by supplement companies. I think that's, again, something that's radically changing. More and more people are realizing they're just paying for expensive pee. People are realizing that no amount of supplementation will trump good nutrition.
So what foods can kind of heal the body in the context of fitness?
There's no, like, again, that's something that is, again, promoted by people who don't really understand nutrition, that there's a hashtag or air quote healing foods and curing foods. It's like my top 10 foods that heal. That doesn't exist. You know, qualified nutritionists as opposed to quasi nutritionists will tell you that. And you combine that then with very important things in life, like meeting up with your friends. That's really, really healing. Like getting adequate amounts of sleep.
Are there cycles or fads in fitness? Or have you noticed trends emerging every few years?
Yeah, the biggest trend at the moment is we have found lots of ways to kill ourselves quicker in training. So we found lots of ways to make training a hell of a lot harder, like high intensity interval training, and let's do it in the heat. Let's do it with lack of oxygen. Let's do it with, I don't know, tighter clothes, whatever. I don't know. So I think that the overall evolution of fitness is one of extreme, is like you've heard the quote, go hard or go home. If it's not hurting, it's not working. If you're not sore, it's not working. So again, like, that's all laughable. That's probably a fad that I see slowly dying away, because people will realize that creates burnout culture.
Dominic, if you could sum up male gym culture in 2019, could you?
I think it's largely positive. I think there is more opportunity for people to train than ever before. However, there's a couple of basic things I think a lot of guys in particular get wrong. I do think there is an overemphasis on what we call aesthetics. So how people look as opposed to how people should be moving or being athletic. So I'm a big believer that we should be focusing on hashtag athletic over aesthetic, as opposed to the other way around, as I think the other way around promotes narcissism, materialism, and that generally guarantees depression, anxiety, and unhappiness. What we're looking for is to especially promote kids and teenagers to encourage them to stay in sport, to focus on being athletic and focus on what your body can do as opposed to how your body looks. Do you think at all Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, Roger Federer, Serena Williams ever cares about their six-pack? No, they don't. They care about one thing, and that's performance. So if we can get more people to be focused on how their body can perform and what their body can do and as opposed to purely how their body looks, that's where the conversation needs to move.
And that's very reassuring from Dominic Mullenly, who's a sports scientist. I'll remember that expression, though, paying for expensive pee when you buy these things and absorb them. This text, narcissistic pansies taking photographs of themselves in gyms are putting sensible people off going to the gym. So gyms are losing members because of them. Send them all out to a hurling pitch, says that texter. Ending 18's report. 18, thank you very much.
Thank you.